Right. Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone had a beautiful Shabbos. Let's get started. So today we're going to transition into the sugya of min bimino, and I just realized that I left my Shulchan Aruch in my dining room. So maybe hang on one second. I'll be right back because it's kind of important. Hold on.
Chodesh, everyone.
Okay. We're back. So as I said, today we're going to transition from Tam Ki Iker into the general concept of Min Bimino and why we require Shishim by Min Bimino and how to be Magdir, the difference between Min Bimino versus Min B'She'eino Mino. So there is a Gemara in Zvachim Daf Ayin Ches that comments on the Mishnah and Meseches Challah. The Mishnah talks about a mixture between wheat and rice with a nafkamina for Afrashas Challah and for the mitzvah of matzah, meaning do we consider it to be wheat or do we consider it to be rice, meaning only the Chameshes Minei Dagan is Chayiv in Challah, only Chameshes Minei Dagan you could be Yotze, your mitzvah of matzah with. So it talks about someone makes a mixture of a rice flour and wheat flour. So as long as you're toim, tam dagan, you yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah, provided that you eat a kazayis of the taroves. So the Gemara says, ooh, mikan, tam ki iker, right? If you have a mixture of rice and wheat, and as long as you're toim, tam dagan, as long as you taste the wheat, that's good enough to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. So it must be that tam ki iker, that seems to be a very strong raya. So Rishon point out that according to the Rabbeinu Chaim, that heter nepach lios iser, it makes a lot of sense. The rice actually becomes matzah. But according to the Rambam and the Rashba, that there's no heter nepach lios iser, so why would the rice contribute to the achilas matzah, right? You recall, we went through the six different ways to understand the Gemara, but the fundamental issue of heter nepach lios iser is a machloka. So how could you say that the rice becomes wheat and that you're able to be yotze in the mitzvah of achilas matzah with a kezayis of the combination of rice and wheat? So there are two mahalchim in Rishonim to address this issue. The Rush in Hilchos Chala, the Hilchos Chala of the Rosh is in the end of Maseches Menachos in Siman Tes Vav, says that the Yerushalmi teaches that when it comes to a rice and wheat mixture, the wheat is gorer the rice lihios kamohu, meaning the rice takes on wheat characteristics, meaning it's a physical change in the rice. There's something called gorera, which is a physical reality that the rice takes on qualities of the wheat. If wheat rises and rice normally doesn't, when rice is mixed with wheat, rice rises also. However, the Gemara in Zvachim clearly says that it's about Tam Ki Iker, right? We started by saying this is a Gemara in Zvachim Davayin Ches. And the Gemara in Zvachim says the reason the Mishnah tells you a mixture of white of wheat and rice flour is mitzdarif to a kezayis for achilas matzah is based on Tam Ki Iker, not based on Gerera. So which is it? So the Rosh explains, not a stira, it's not a machlokas bavli Yerushalmi. You yotze the mitzvah of matzah based on Gerera. But that would still leave you with a question of how could it be that the wheat can be gorer the rice if the wheat doesn't even exist in halacha because it's batel berov. So that's where Tam Ki Iker comes in. The wheat is not batel because Tam Ki Iker works to be monea the bittel. It's effectively a menias habittel. So once the wheat exists, now you can have grera, meaning it's a tag team. You need both. You need the grera and you need the Tam Ki Iker. The Tam Kicker is enough to say that that there is no bittel, and once there is no bittel, the gerera will cause it that will make it that the rice becomes like the wheat because that's a physical reality. That's one mahalich. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted that the Tam Ki Iker alone can make the rice and the wheat mixture into kosher matzah. Aye, what role does gerera apply? So does gerera contribute? So perhaps the Achronim explain. You can't be yotze matzah with rice because it's not a grain And also because it's not bali de chimutz, meaning only the chamish minyadagin are bali de chimutz. If something is halachically chita, but practically not bali de chimutz, that would also be a problem. Meaning it's not that there's magic of chamishes minyadagin; it's that kol shabali de chimutz is yotzei ba'achilas mitzvah matzah. Anything that's not bali de chimutz, you're not yotzei mitzvah v'achilas matzah. That's where the assumption is that the mitzvah of matzah and the yisur of chametz are very much related to each other. Only that which can be subject to the yisur of chametz can be subject to the yisur of chametz can be subject to the mitzvah of matzah. So tam ki ikur gives the rice a halachic status. Tam ki ikur says, you know, this rice is wheat. But I still need Greira, because what Greira does is it gives it a metzius. Is Greira tells me that it's actually maybe l'dei chimutz. In order to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah, you need to be maybe l'dei chimutz. So anyway, that's just in terms of this discussion that we had in the Rishonim of how exactly does this work of tam ki ikur if you're not going to say heter nepach lios iser. So that's where we rely on the Yerushalmi that says that over here it's better than just heter nepach lios iser. We don't need a normal heter nepach lios iser, because there's heter nepach lios iser is a halachic change. Over here, there's actually a physical change. There's actually greira. There's actually something that actually happens to the rice where it becomes something that is viable to use for the mitzvah of matzah. So in the end of the day, how do we paskin about tam kikr? Is tam kikr dar rice? Is it rabbanan? Is it sometimes yes, sometimes no? So Shulchan Aruch over here is very clearly mesupik, whether tam kikr is dar rice, and we're mesupik, and therefore Shulchan Aruch is very clearly machmir, and we have to always assume that it might be dar rice. And nafkamina, whether it's dar rice or drabana, is of course a case of suffik, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here, that if you have a suffik shishim, you have to, on min b'she'enu mino, you have to go l'chumra, because you have to assume that tam kikr is dar rice, and therefore we go l'chumra on a suffik shishim of min b'she'enu mino. That's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, which then leads us to the question of, okay, what's min b'mino and what is min b'she'eno mino? How do we define what's called mino and what's called she'eno mino? And this is going to be the primary topic of today's shiur. What is called mino, what is called she'eno mino? So there is a machlokas, Rabbi Yudin and Rabbanan, in Menachos Daf Chav Beis and Rav going over to Chav Beis and Beis, whether min b'mino is batel at all, right? This is a fundamental machlokas. It's the ABCs of Hilchos Taroves. Rabbi Yehuda's shita throughout Shas, min b'mino is aser b'mashehu, that there is no bittel by min b'mino. The Rabbanan say, no, min b'mino is more kal than min b'she'eno mino, not more chamur. Min b'mino is batel b'rov on a daraisa level. Even the requirement of shishim is only midrabbanan. So we paskin like the Rabbanan, right? We paskin that min b'mino on a daraisa level is batel b'rov, and the requirement for shishim is only a requirement midrabbanan. So even though there is a requirement for shishim, both by min b'mino and by min b'she'eno mino, when it comes to min b'she'eno mino, the requirement of shishim is daraisa. When it comes to min b'mino, the requirement of shishim is only derabbanan. And therefore, right here in Shulchan Aruch, in Sadiches, right at the beginning, safek shishim, if it's the tarovus of min b'mino, Shulchan Aruch and Sif Bey says that if you know for sure that you have rov, you could be mekel because safek derabbanan lekula, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, black on white. Im nisariv min b'mino v'nishpach b'inyan she'en yichol l'namar alav l'sharu im no d'shah yirubal heter mutter. As long as you know that you have rov heter, it's mutter. V'lo no d'shah yirubal heter aser. But if you don't even know that if you have a rov, then you're dealing with savik d'araisa. And savik d'araisa would be l'chumra. However, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel then brings from the Rashba that even in a case of min b'mino, where there is a suffix shishim, what does Shulchan Aruch say? Bamed varmamurim kishenishpach, aval isur shenis arev baheter, vuhu lifaneinu. It's just v'yef shalamur al shiuro, afal pishu meyisurim shal devrayem. Usher, a very critical qualification. He brings from the Rashba that even in the case of min b'mino, where there's a suffix shishim, and you should have been able to be mekel, there are times that you cannot be mekel. See, a typical case, a person doesn't know how to measure exactly. You can't call every case where a guy doesn't know how to measure a suffix drabban lakula. It's only where nishpach, where it would be impossible to measure. Not where it's like, oh, I don't know, how am I going to figure this out? Okay, it's a suffix. You know, it's got to be something that's impossible, that you can't possibly measure. Only then are we comfortable calling it a suffix. Shach Sifkat and Tess explains why if I don't know how to measure it. Why can't I call that a suffix? Shach explains, because that's what we call a suffix machmas chesron yediya. And if my suffix is because I don't know anything, that's not a real suffix. The Shach in Sivkat and Tess, he writes, based on Vatam Kasva Poskim, the suffix hatoli bechesron yediya lo mikri suffix. Didas shotimuze. That's not a real suffix. That's just ignorance. Masha'in kim bereisha, deba something koch shenishbach. Ooh, as opposed to in the case where something spilled out and nobody would ever be able to measure, that's a real suffix. Then the Shach quotes a Ran, who formulates it even more strongly. Varan kosav, mishum b'dabadavar she'i efshar lamar alav, iazlina l'kula yu kola yisurim b'safek, v'kol echad yishayir b'mashanira b'einav. Ulefichach bo chacham lahashvus midosehen. Avol bima sheinu ba elu ba akroy bialma. Kigon shenishvach viki agabna azinu lakula. Unbelievable. The Ran says, look, if we were to take every case where you're not sure and say, all right, it's a suffix, it's fine, then everyone's going to be lazy about it. Everything's going to turn into a suffix. Yeah, I could think about it and try to figure it out, or I could say, yeah, it's a suffix. So I'd rather say it's a suffix. So the Ran says, we don't want that to happen. So we don't allow anyone to say that it's a suffix. You're not allowed to say it's a suffix. Unless it's something that's such a rare circumstance where it's nishbach, where it's spilled out and you have no way of possibly measuring it, only then do we rely on the fact that it's a suffix. A true suffix is only if the food has spilled out and there's no way to measure the shishim. So as it turns out, once you take this into account, once you take Sif Gimel into account, the whole difference between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino is very minimal. Meaning, what was the whole vart? That if min b'she'eno mino is batel b'shishim on a daraisa level, but, right, whereas min b'mino, it's really batel b'rov on a daraisa level. Shishim is only drabanan. Oh, so it's a gewaldika nafka mino, whether you call something min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino, every case of suffix is going to be a nafka mino, right? You're always going to require shishim for both, but in a case of suffix, you could be mekel on min b'mino, and you got to be machmir min b'she'eno mino. Once you take Siv Gimel with the Shach into account, not really. Most cases of suffix, you're going to be machmir even on min b'mino. It's only in the rare case of suffix where it's also nishbach that only then are you going to be able to be mekel. So at the very outset, the fact that both min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino require shishim takes away like 90% of the nafka mina between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino, because most of the time you know what you have and they're both going to require shishim. Even in a case of suffix, you say, okay, so I still got 10% of the cases that are a suffix. So suffix, there's going to chop a big nafkamina. Even that's not really such a nafkamina, because it's only certain types of sveikos that we say are going to be makil by min b'mino. Only the type of suffix where it's nishbach. So what I'm trying to say is, we're going to have a long conversation right now about how to define min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino. I'm taking all the teeth out of the conversation before we have it by saying, like, there's practically no nafka mina lahalacha, because in every case we're going to have to be machmir. But it's a fascinating, in lamdus it's fascinating. In lamdus it's very, very good. So we're going to have the conversation anyway, because again, Tarovis is all about setting up the ideas and the yesodos of Hilchus Kashrus. Yoni also, in the Ramban's case of Iker of more than Shishim that was removed from the Tyroves where the Tom left over is a suffix Shishim. Yeah. But again, these cases are you have to have these more unusual cases in order to have an actual suffix Shishim. Now, okay. Now, before we even get to how to define min b'mino versus min b'she'eno mino, why? Why is it, if the halach is that min b'mino is really batel b'rov, and the Rabbanan came along and said it's batel b'shishim, why would the Rabbanan not rely on the din d'oraisa over here? Meaning, what was the tzorech to create a din d'rabbanan over here, that you need shishim by min b'mino as well? So, two basic mahalchim. There's the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rush writes, very pashut, gzeira min b'mino atu min b'she'eno mino, especially since we're going to have such a hard time today defining what's even called min b'mino versus what's called min b'she'eno mino, so much easier to just give him an across-the-board rule. That min it's a gzeira min b'mino atu min b'she'eno mino. If you're mekel on min b'mino cases, based on rov alone, people will come to mekel even by min b'she'eno mino and not require shishim. That makes a lot of sense if you assume tam ki ikr midaraisa. Right? Meaning, if you assume tam ki ikr daraisa, and therefore, the requirement of shishim by min b'she'eno mino is absolutely midaraisa, I get why you'd want to make a gzeira of min b'mino needing shishim atu min b'she'eno mino. Even if you assume, like the Rambam Rabbi Chaim Cohen, that we never really need shishim midaraisa, if you held tam ki ikr is only derabbanan, or even if you hold that it's sometimes, right? Meaning like Rambam Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, that you don't really need shishim on a daraisa level. That Tam Kikr might be daraisa, but not at a shishim ratio. It's at a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras ratio or something like that. It would be hard to believe that they made a gzeira min b'mino atu min b'she'eno mino, when min b'she'eno mino is itself only in a seder rabbanan. So the Rosh's Mahalich works very good if you assume, like we assume la'alacha, that min b'she'eno mino requires shishim midaraisa because tam ki ikr daraisa. But if you hold tam ki ikr is drabanan, or even if you hold tam ki ikr is sometimes daraisa, sometimes drabanan, that it's only daraisa in a much higher percentage, then why in the world would we make a gzeira? Why did the rabbanan decide that min b'mino is going to be b'shishim? So the Rambam, in Hilchos Machlokes Suras Perek Tezvav Halacha Dalid, writes that the goal of Bittul is that it makes something not chashuv. Bittul takes away the chashivas of something. The concept of Bittul Isurim is to make something that it's no longer important, that it's no longer really present and important. That's why we're going to see soon we have concepts such as a beria, such as chaticha ruyi l'skabed, meaning there are certain things that are too chashuv to become batel, davar shebiminyan, right? Things that are too independently important to become batel, at least on a drabbanan level. So the idea of bittul is that never the iser ba'otza mi'uto, that the iser gets lost because it is so tiny, so it loses its chashivus. But if there's a significant amount of the iser present, so you understand that the Rabbanan would say, we're just moving the needle on bittul. We're saying that that if there's enough of the iser there, we're not comfortable calling this bittul. Not a gzeira atu min b'she'eno mino. No, within min b'mino itself. Within min b'mino itself. True, on a daraisa level, will be batal barov. But since bittul means that you're saying it, the item has no chashivas, we'd rather it have even a lower level of chashivas on a drabbanan level before we say it has no chashivas. It's not a gzeira atu min b'she'eno mino, it's a gzeira atu min b'mino b'rov, meaning we're making an extra siag, an extra geder beyond the regular min b'mino. And that all brings us to how to define min b'mino versus min b'she'eno mino. Let's see. What about mamasha less than shishim? Is that not enough of a concern? Right. Mestamah, that's not enough of a concern. They didn't make such a din. So the definition of min b'mino versus min b'she'eno mino, I put today in the chat that the real sugi you need to see is avodah zarah daf samach vav, and then you can understand what the shach is talking about and what all the nosei kelim on the side of the shulchan aruch and the back of the shulchan aruch over here are talking about. The Gemara discusses cases where min b'mino is more chamor than min b'she'eno mino, meaning, where we're approaching this problem in Hilchos Tarovos is the exact opposite of where the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is approaching the problem from. Meaning we're coming at this problem assuming that min b'mino is really batel b'rov. Min b'mino is more kal, and the requirement of shishim is only midrabanan. Min b'she'eno mino is very chamor, you need shishim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is coming from the opposite perspective, that min b'mino is more chamor. Why? Why does it think min b'mino is more chamer? Because it's either going within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mino is b'mashahu, or that we're talking about different types of Yisurim, like Truma and Orla, that don't have a bittul b'shishim. So it's coming from a different perspective. Yayin nesach, which is really the basis of the sugya over there, the yayin nesach is asur b'mashahu. So I'm going to ask where the Gemara in Zvachim. Zvachim is ayin ches. Ayin ches and ralph ayin ches and beis. So when it comes to that Gemara, the Gemara talks about min b'mino that's more chomer by min b'shein. I mean, we're talking yayin nesach is asur b'mashahu. So the Mishnah says it only makes an asur b'mashahu if it's min b'mino. But if it's min b'sheinu mino, then it's batal b'shishim. Or like according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything that's min b'mino is asur b'mashu, no matter what iser it is. But if it's min b'sheinu mino, then it's only b'shishim. So the Gemara quotes a machlokas in that context. How do we define min b'mino versus min b'sheinu mino? Chala d'chamra v'chala d'shichra. If you have wine vinegar and beer vinegar, one of iser and one of heter that are mixed together, or chamira d'chiti v'chamira d'sari, you have yeast from wheat and you have yeast from barley, and one of them is iser, meaning one of them is truma or one of them is tevel. You got to look at Rashi over there and tell us the Pesachim Dav Lamed as to why you would say it's about truma, why you would say it's about tevel. But whatever it is, it's about some other iser. So Abaye Yomer b'noisin tam, basar taima azlinan, hay taima l'chud v'hay taima l'chud, v'avili min b'sheinu minu, min b'sheinu minu b'noisin tam. So Abaye says, when it comes to these cases of two types of vinegar that taste different from each other, the shear is going to be shishim. The shear is going to be nesinas tam. Why? Because it's min b'sheinu minu. What makes it min b'sheinu minu? They taste different. What determines whether something is the same min is the tam. So we view this as tarov, as min b'sheinu minu. So it won't be asur b'mashu, it's just b'nosin tam. However, Rava Amar b'mashuhu, basar shma azlinon, v'hai chola mikri, v'hai chola mikri, hai chamira mikri, hai chamira mikri, v'avli min b'mino, v'kom b'mino b'mashuhu. Rava says, no, the two types of vinegar, two types of yeast, are both called vinegar, they're both called yeast, and therefore it's min b'mino. Aye, they taste different, it doesn't matter. What's called min b'mino versus what's called min b'sheinu mino is not based on what it tastes like, it's based on what we call it. And that is Shitas Rava. So in general, you have Machlokas Abaye and Rava. So we know the klal in all of Shas that Lach is like Abaye only in Yal Kigam. In all the other cases, we always paskin like Rava. So it would seem that if you have to determine what is called min b'mino versus what's called min b'sheinu mino, you do not look at the taste, at the flavor, you look at the name. So the thing is, though, the Gemara over there is talking specifically in a case, in unique cases, as we'll soon see. It's not talking about, you know, shari surim. It's not talking about tarovas, you know, of nevela and treifa and beimet tamei and all the things that we normally talk about. Even if you're paskin like Rava over there, which we do, would you also paskin like Rava that the definition of min b'mino is dependent on shame when it comes to l'chus tarovas? So the entire nafkamina, like we said, is in the case of suffik, whether you have shishim, and not just any suffik, but a suffik of nishbach, where you need to know whether it's min b'sheinu mino, and the shishim requirement is daraisa, or min b'mino and shishim is only drabanan. So the Rama over here in Sif Beis, what does Rama say? The Rama is very clear. Uleinin min b'mino, azlinon basar shma, imu shava avi min b'mino, avalo azlinon basar taimu imu shava ulo. We only look at the shame, we don't look at the tam at all. Beis Yosef points out that this is from a Mordechai that says this way as well, right? That we follow Shema, we don't follow Taima. Comes along the, in fact, if you look in the Gran, Sivkot and Tess, he tells you, where did the Rama get this from? Kirava Avodah Zarah, Samach Vav Meralev, right? He's just straight passing like Rava. Nothing fancy over here, says the Gran. Rama's passing like Rava, so it's very straightforward. Problem is, it makes no sense. Meaning, yes, he's passing like Rava, and that's what you're supposed to do, but the Shach points out in Sivkat and Vav over here that logically this is very difficult to defend. You know, when dealing with a particular Isra Drabbanan, like Bittel of Yayin Nesech, so I get you're going to go Basar Shema. But over here, you know, we're not really concerned so much about what is halachically, technically defined as mino or eno mino. Over here, those words, as we use them in Hilchos Tarovos, even though we only really know them from Hilchos Tarovos, they're not really what matters in Hilchos Tarovos. What matters in Hilchos Tarovos is tam, Right? What matters is tam ki ikr. That's what we've been discussing the whole time. Tam ki ikr. So if you're going to tell me that min b'she'eino mino is b'shishim on a daraisa level and min b'mino is b'rov, why? Why is min b'she'eino mino b'shishim? Because tam ki ikr. Because when you have min b'she'eino mino, you'll have tam of iser if the ratio is less than shishim to one. It's all about tam. The whole din is about tam. I don't care technically whether it's called min or not. Will I taste chazer in this? Right? Will I taste the nevela in this? Will I taste the yisr? And if I'll taste the yisr, I have a problem of tam ki ikr. So Shach points out, you know, it's one thing you want to tell me, you know, when the din is not really a din about tam, you know, it's about something being batal b'meyo or b'masayim, like by truma or by arla or things like that, where it's, you know, where it's pure halachic definitions and there's nothing in reality that has to conform to anything. Okay, so then I get it. You'll tell me, okay, how do we halachically define what's called mino, what's called eino mino? But that's not what's going on over here. Over here, it's not about what's halachically defined. Over here, it's about a reality of tam. The issue is not the halachic category of how to define mino. It's about tam. So since we all tam keker, the idea that you need shishim midarais and min b'sheino mino is not about whether it's the same min. It's about whether it actually gives tam. So it makes no sense to say that it depends on shame. Only with shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mino is aser b'mashehu, or when you talk about truma and orla, where bittles be'echad umeya by truma or be'echad umasayim by orla, so taste is clearly not the factor. So then it makes sense to say that you follow shame. And in fact, Prima Gadim, Sif Seidas, Sif Kanvav over here, says all the achronim agree with the Shach, because his argument is super duper compelling over here, that it doesn't make any sense to ignore tam. It happens to be his argument also assumes something, though. I mean, he assumes that the whole discussion about Truma and Orla really has nothing to do with Tam. How does he know it has anything to do with Tam? Because Truma is batal b'meyav echad, right? It's batal in 101. So it's obviously not a din in Tam. It's not so clear. The Mefarshei Rambam in Macholos Parak Tezvav Halacha Lamed assume that the Rambam's shita is that Truma does have to do with Tam, as does Orla. Aye, how come the shear is not shishim? It's not like shishim is like an automatic, you know, that when you have a little less than shishim, then you taste the tam fully, and then as soon as you hit shishim, the tam is gone. A very sensitive palate might be able to taste tam in even a higher ratio. It's just that we have the right to assume that shishim takes away enough of the tam by regular isurim. But when it comes to Truma and Arla, it's a chumrah that we have by Truma and by Arla, that what's considered Nesinas Tam, how much Tam is up to Meyo or up to Masayim. So the Shach is clearly not assuming that way, right? He's assuming that, no, there's just a shear in Bittel called Meyo Ve'echad or Masayim Ve'echad that's unrelated to Tam, and that's where you can say that it's dependent on shame and not dependent on Tam. But whenever the halacha is dependent on tam, so then you can't say it's dependent, that the definition is dependent on shame. So what did David Kirsch ask? How different does shame need to be? It's also an excellent question, right? For example, if Golan advertised that one is lamb shawarma and one is chicken shawarma, is that enough? That's actually the exact example given by the Beis Yosef. So we'll discuss that in a moment. Meaning that's where the... Yeah, it's mamish, exactly the example given in the Beis Yosef. So let's see. most fundamentally, we need to answer for the Ramah, right? How in the world are you going to defend the Ramah over here? Granted, everyone paskins like the Shach, so like defending the Ramah, what does Beis Yosef say is Beshwam? Everyone passes like the Shach, but we need to defend the Ramah. So the Taz defends the Ramah. So you'll tell me, what are you talking about? The Taz over here is tiny. There is no Taz on this Ramah. So if you look in the Daf HaAcharon, in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, so there is the Taz gets the last word in. It's printed right after Simen Kuf Yud, right after I don't know how it is in the new Shulchan Aruch. So I have a very old Shulchan Aruch. So there's a Daf HaAchron Hature Zahav and a Kuntras HaAchron Mehashach. So in the Daf HaAchron Hature Zahav, he points out Hikshuel Ramah Delomi and actually minimum mino batum rov meratora kivin she'ena tam shavav leinosin tam zebzeh. Right, that's the kasha on the Ramah, and he discusses and he defends Ramah as follows. He says that it never happens. This is an interesting ha'ara. He says it never happens that two items are called the same thing, they have the same name, and they have totally opposite flavors from each other. They like don't taste anything alike. Right? If two things are called the same thing, their tastes are at least close to each other. Much more likely is that they have very similar and just slightly different flavors. So Zakta Taz, the Rama is saying that since the flavors are anyway so close to each other, even though they may not be identical, you can follow the fact that they have the same name to say that it's batel b'rov midaraisa. Meaning, you want to know whether you need shishim over here or you can rely on rov on the daraisa level. The Torah will rely on rov. The Torah itself will rely on rov when the nuance of tam is so slightly different that it's not going to make a major impact anyway from one to the other. In fact, the Taz writes, the Ramah, when viewed in that way, is far more logical than the Shach. I mean, he takes in the other direction. You know, we thought the Shach makes so much more sense. We're talking about Tam, so obviously it's got to be Shishim. So, well, I mean, the whole reason you need Shishim is because of Tam. So how can you say that what defines whether you need Shishim or not is shame and not Tam? Says the Taz, no, because when two things have the same shame, then the difference in Tam is not a huge gap. It's a very, very tiny gap of Tam. And that will allow for rov to become batel. And he says, even in classic cases of min bimino, like two pieces of meat, they don't taste mamish exactly. No two pieces of meat taste mamish exactly the same. One cut of meat is higher quality or something like that. And that's classic min bimino, right? Would you say that a chicken leg and a chicken wing are min bimino or min b'sheino mino? Right? So that's min bimino, it's not min b'sheino mino. But they're not exactly the same. They don't have the exact same taste. And we still view it as min b'mino. Why? Because they're very close in taste. He says that's why the Beis Yosef, when giving the example of things that are called different names, he chooses basar ofu, basar behema, right? Because they have very similar tastes. The lamb shawarma and the chicken shawarma. They have very similar tastes. They have very similar flavors. To demonstrate that the basis of the discussion is when things have similar tastes, but slightly different flavors, but similar. And that's where you get into the Shem Echad or Shnei Shemos. That is how the Taz defends the Ramah. There are a few other defenses of the Ramah that I wanted to go through, though. The Placey in Sifkat and Dalud suggests, he says, wait a second. The entire, what does David Kirsch say? At the end of the day, though, the Taz defense for the Ramah falls back on the fact that Tam really is the Iker differentiating. Is he saying that the Ramah and the Shach really disagree, or is he just qualifying the Ramah as agreeing with the Shach? No, I don't think he's qualifying the Ramah as agreeing with the Shach. I think he's saying that because of the nuance of difference in the Tam, we get to define Tam differently. Meaning we get to define Min B'mino based on when it's Shem Echad, we can, meaning the Shach will still say, if they don't taste the same, even if they're just a little bit off, but they don't taste the same, that's min b'sheino mino, you require shishim on a daraisa level. The Ramah is going to say, no, you don't. You only require a rov on a daraisa level. Why? Because the taste is only off by a little bit. How do I know the taste is only off by a little bit? Because they're called the same thing. They wouldn't be called the same thing if the tastes were way off. That's what the Taz seems to be saying. Gabe, don't kosher agencies put out notices all the time about how careful we need to be about kosher species of fish which have the same name as completely unrelated non-kosher species? Do they all taste the same? Also, what about lion manes, the mushroom, and lion manes, the cat hair? Yeah, I think the mushroom is called that just because it looks like a lion mane, I assume, not because it's, you know, I don't know if that's a real term. I think they're both called, you know, I would say a lion mane mushroom and another mushroom have the same shame, meaning that the lion mane is a shame levoy, right? It's not the ikar shame. The ikar shame is mushroom. But Gabe, what are you asking about the kashrus agencies? So they put out notices. So therefore,
I'm asking that if red snapper refers to 12 completely different species of fish that come from different parts of the world, and that. Or grouper refers to five completely different families of So the assumption is that they all taste the same, or that people give the same name to lots and lots of different species of fish.
It sounds like probably that people give the same name to different different species of fish, I would assume. No, do you think they all taste the same? I don't know.
But then isn't that if the TAS is saying we can assume that if two things have the same name, that we can always assume they're going to taste the same?
No. Adrabba, it's a great Israya. How different do you think they are? They're somewhat different. You think they're mikatza lakatza? He says that they don't have opposite flavors. You don't have one that's sweet, one that's sour. You don't have, meaning, that's what he's saying. It's that they're similar enough flavors. I think that's the TAS. Now, the place he suggests, he says, you know, the entire chiddush of Tam Ki'ikr, says the place, let's go back to what we started with, right? We spoke about Tam Ki'ikr, and we said, well, is it Daraisa, is it Rabbanan? And if we're going to discuss Daraisa, so we need to know, what the pasuk is, right? So we had different possibilities. Shai Kamenetsky recently said that on his Masmidim interview with Rabbi Tversky and Rabbi Schechter. Can I tell the story, Shai? You told it publicly. I can tell it. So that Rabbi Schechter kept on asking about each din. Is it a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So he was guessing. He was like d'oraisa. So Rabbi Tversky interrupted the bechin and he said, Shai, if you don't have a pasuk in mind, then don't guess d'oraisa. Right? If you're going to say that something is d'oraisa, you got to have a pasuk in mind, right? You have to be thinking of a pasuk. So when we discuss tam ki ikr, so what's the pasuk? What's the pasuk that tells us tam ki ikr? So says the Plesi, one of the possibilities and the one that he thinks most likely, mishras anavim. What's mishras anavim? What is that talking about? So Gemara tells us it's talking about bread soaked in wine. That's the sugim psachim we saw. Bread and wine are totally different, both in their taste and in their name. And therefore, the entire din, Tam Ki Iker, is based on a case of something that has different shame and different ta'am. So when things are chaluk only b'ta'amam, but not b'shmam, then there is no chiddush of Tam Ki Iker. Meaning what the place he's saying is, Tam Ki Iker is a great chiddush, and ein lecha bo'el chiddusha. Wherever the source is in the Torah, we can only apply Tam Ki Iker, the Chiddush of Tam Ki Iker, in the case that's similar to the way we have it in the Torah. And he says, and it's very logical also, because he then pushes it, right? Meaning, he starts off with a very technical argument, that since Tam Ki Iker is a Chiddush, Sein Lechabel Chiddusho, we can only apply it in the... Then he says, and it's not only a technical argument, it's a logical argument also. Why? Prior to any mixing of the two items, they have, if they have a shem echad, they would be considered min b'mina, right? I mean, before they mix and there's no transference of tam or anything, so of course they'd be considered min b'mina. So as soon as they mix, before any transference of tam happens, there's already bittel berov, because the blias iser beheter precedes any nesinas tam, any impact of tam from one to the other. So the bittel berov happens before there could be a nesinas tam. So that's how the Plesi defends the Rama. Now, he's making an assumption that prior to any taroves, you have to look at shame and not at tam, because tam only matters if one is impacting the other. That's the assumption he's making. But then the place he concludes, you should still be machmir for the shach. Even though I think my defense of the Ramah is gevaldik, you should still be machmir for the shach, because most of the achronim hold like the shach. But, he says, since Rashi and the Ramah hold the tam kikr is drabanan anyway, when there's another snif lahakel, we could rely on the Ramah that if the Shema Isser and the Shema Heter are the same, then you could call them in Bemino, even though they taste different. And b'makom shenishbach v'enyadur, if there, and you don't know if there was shishim, you could be machshir with the rov. Meaning, he says, you know, I reject the Ramah lahalacha, but not totally reject. We definitely accuse the Ramah as a snif lahakel, especially since the whole difference between min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino presumes tam kikr d'oraisa, and half the Rishonim say not that way. The tam kikr is not going to be d'oraisa anyhow. Then there is Rav Soloveitchik's defense. Rav Moshe has a defense also. I just don't know if we're going to have time to go through it today. If you take a look, Igros Moshe Yerdei Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel, Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel Anaf Gimel. Rav Moshe has his own defense of the Ramah. I'm not going to get into it right now. If there's time at the end, maybe we'll come back to it. The one I wanted to go through, I thought was fascinating, is Rav Soloveitchik's defense of the Rambam. If you look in Shiurei HaRav, Simen Ayin He, Os Aleph, and Os Beis, and Os Gimel, but primarily in Os Aleph, Rav Soloveitchik writes, you know, there are two ways to understand the idea of Bittul B'Shishim by Min B'Sheino Mino. Right? Min B'Sheino Mino is Bittul B'Shishim. How does that work? So one way that it could work is that as far as the actual Isser is Bittul B'Rov. But so long as you can still taste, as there's still tam, then it's going to aser separately midin tam ke'ikr. Meaning the Isser is already gone, but then there's a separate Isser called tam. Now, what the mechanics of tam are, whether it's hadrali surakama, and it goes back to the original Isser, or whether it's a new shem Isser called tam, whatever. But the point is that bittel already happens berov, and then tam creates this new problem. So what does Shishim do for me? Shishim takes away the Metzius of Tam. So once I don't have a Metzius of Tam, I can rely back on the Bittel that I always had beforehand, because it was already Bittel Berov. Or, says Rav Soloveitchik, the other way to look at it is that when it comes to Min B'Sheino Mino, the ratio required is no longer Rov. We require a super Rov. That for some things, you require more than just a simple rov. You require a super rov. So when there's tam, we need a super rov. Similar to, Rav Shechter pointed out, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis, where we talk about dinin nefashos, matan al pi shnayim lechova. Rabbi, dinin nefashos, if you can read the zak of the person, so bezin shal chav gimel, so it could be a 12 to 11 vote lezchus, and it's good. You can be mechay of a person, all of a sudden you need a 13 to 10 vote. Right, a 12 to 11 vote is not going to be good enough anymore. Why not? Because a simple rove is not good enough. In certain cases, you need a super rove. So maybe over here, you need a super rove. It's not about the practical removal of the tam. The technical bitul iser doesn't even happen unless you have a super rove. That's the other way to say it. That's the other way to say it. Now, the Rav Soloveitchik says, and this is the machlokas, the Shach and the Ramah. The Shach understands the first way, that so long as the tam is there b'metzius, you're going to have a problem. So you need to get rid of the tam b'metzius. So you certainly can't look to shame to define what's called mino. You have to look at tam to define mino, because you got to get rid of the actual tam. So that's the Shach. Whereas the Ramah will say like the second side. That you need shishim midin bittel with a super rov. That's the whole din of shishim. And that requirement of a super rov that even gets rid of tam only applies to min b'sheino mino, which itself is defined by shame. The fact that you could still taste the isser is really irrelevant, because the taste is not what makes it aser. It's just that when you have a tarovus of min b'sheino mino, you need a super rov that would get rid of taste. But since it has shame echad, it's tarovus min b'mino. So you don't only need a regular rov. Meaning, if it's min b'mino, you don't need the super rov. When you need a super rov, how big of a rov do you need? The kind of rov that would get rid of taste. But in a min b'mino, you don't need it. You don't need a super rov. You only need a regular rov. So it's based on a technicality more than a metzius, on a halachic requirement of bittel, than more than a metzius. And based on that understanding of Soloveitchik says, I could explain a lot of other unusual shitos in Hilchos Tarovos. Let's start with this. Start with something local over here. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis quotes the Rashba. Right? Nisariv Isser B'mino B'she'eno Mino V'nishbach. Right? Yeah, toward the end of Sif Beis. V'im Nisariv B'mino U'B'she'eno Mino V'nishbach B'inin She'en Yichal Lamar Olav L'Sha'aro V'noda Sha'yerubo Heter M'mino. You know that Kneged the Min Heter, there was more Heter than Isser. So ignore the Eno Mino. Ron Ashe Eno Mino Kilo Eno Vashar Mino Rabalavim Vatel. Right, what was the case that the Shulchan Aruch was talking about? You have a Kezayis of let's say, meat of Isser, right? Falls into a Taroves that has two Kezayisim of Heter meat and 10 Kezayisim of heter, I don't know, vegetables. So as far as the Tarovus of Min B'She'eno Mino, you know, if this Kazayas of Nevela, meat, would have fallen into those 10 Kazayasim of vegetables, it's Asir, right? But if this Kazayas of Nevela meat falls into the 2 Kazayasim of kosher meat, it's Mutter on a Daraisa level. Because Batal Barov mi Daraisa. So how do you look at this? So says the Rashba, you can be Mekel. You can pretend the vegetables aren't here, and the meat fell into the meat, so it's Batal Barov. And then you add the vegetables in. Then you can bring back the vegetables and say, okay, it's fine, because it's all Heter right now. Where does the Rashba get such an idea from, that you're allowed to view it that way? I mean, I would have said, I don't know, I could taste the Tam Nevela in the vegetables. Right? So the Rashba gets the idea from a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Amud Beis, where the Gemara is working within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda holds Min B'mino Zasa B'mashahu. So Rabbi Yehuda talks about a case, what if you have a Tarovus of Mino Ve'eno Mino, right? And Salekis Mino K'mi She'eno, V'She'eno Mino Rabba Lava Mevatla. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Take the Mino, which is the more problematic one according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Mino is more chamor according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Zasar Mimashu, ignore it, pretend it's not there, and only look at this as the Tarovus of Min B'She'eno Mino, where you're going to have Bittel B'Shishim, good, and now bring back the Mino and it's all Batel. So the Rashba just extends that to our point of view, according to the Rabbanan, where Min B'Mino is more Kal. And he says, okay, so get rid of the thing that's more chamer that you don't want to look at. Look at only the most kal version of this taroves, the min b'mino part of this taroves. Fantastic, now it's batel, and then you can bring back in the shein amino and everything is fine. So that's the Rashba's logical extension. He takes the Gemara's discussion within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, where you can ignore that which is more chamer, which in Rabbi Yehuda's case is min b'mino, only look at that which is more kal, say that it's batel, And the Rashba says, so we'll do that for us. For us, the more chamber thing is min b'sheino mino. So we ignore the min b'sheino mino, look at it as if it's min b'mino, batel barov, good. The problem with this application of the Rashba, and this pointed out by the Marshal, and it's called by the Shach and the Taz over here, is that in the case of the Gemara, there's no nesinas tam. The case of the Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda. It's a gzeres hakasim, min b'mino is also b'mashuhu, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So since the entire matter is a halachic matter, it doesn't depend on any mitzils. So you could say, salek is mino, you could do imaginary halachic mechanisms to make it mutter. Because there is no mitzils that flies in the face of it. But in our case, the idea that you need shishim by min b'sheino mino is on account of nesinas tam. So how can you say Saleka She'enu Mino if the Yisra is actually giving tam into it? If the bottom line is, I taste the Nevela in my vegetables. What do you mean, Saleka She'enu Mino, pretend that it's not there? You can't. So Salvation explains, now I understand, based on the Lamdas that I just told you. The concept of Saleka Mino means that you can say that if there's already a Bittul Yisra from another Taroves, then that bittul will work even in this ta'aroves. So in the case of the Gemara, there was already a bittul isser from min b'she'eno mino, and that bittul will then carry over even when you introduce mino. So Rabbi Yehuda only says min b'mino b'mashu when there's no previous bittul. But if the isser is already batel based on the ta'aroves, based on another ta'aroves of min b'she'eno mino, then even Rabbi Yehuda would say the bittul works for min b'mino. And the Rashba then extends that if the Isser is Nisbatel Berov Mino, then that Bittel will carry over to Min B'Sheino Mino. Aye, but I could detect the flavor. It's irrelevant. Because the requirement of Shishin, says Rasalvechik, is like I explained. Like the Rama understands. It's only a din in how much of a Bittel is required. But over here, you already have a Bittel. You have a previous bittel. Requirement of shishim is not dependent on a mitzius; it's dependent on a super rov. That when you have a tarovus of min b'sheino mino, you need a super rov. But I never even get to a tarovus of min b'sheino mino over here because I already had a min b'mino tarovus, so it's already batel, and therefore I don't need a super rov. So Salvation explains: not only does this lamdas explain the Rama, this Lamdas explains this Marshal, that this Rashba, rather, and defends the Rashba from the Shach's Kasha, from the Marshal's Kasha and the Rashba. It also explains, says Rav Soloveitchik, at least partially, a Ramah in Siman Tzadi Ches, Siv Ches. The Ramah later on in the Siman. The Ramah is going to say, let's jump ahead a little bit. The Ramah is going to say over here, he goes on to say, toward the end of that Ramah, Avlim nosin tam bosa kadeira, vu asur mitzad atzmo, afilu be'elif lo batal, kol zman shemargishim taimo. V'lachain, melach, v'tavlin, midvarim da'avidi l'taima. If you put salt or spices, something that's there clearly for flavor, im asur mechmas atzmon einin betelim b'shishim. If your salt is inherently usher salt, not salt that happens to have been balua with dam or something. No, salt that's usher because of it, right? Or spices that are usher because of them, that the spices themselves are whatever, the tevel, the chuma, whatever. The spices themselves are inherently usher. Then you don't have bitul b'shishim, the Ramah says. Afilu be'elef, it's not batel. Why? Because you could taste it. Comes along the shach and sivkat and chavtes, and says in the name of the Yisr Vahetir that that's only midrabanan. But on a darais level, it's batel b'shishim. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Prima Gadim, the Ran says, no, it's a din daraisa. What do you mean? I could taste it. Tam ki iker. I could taste it. If I could taste the Yisr, then it's a din daraisa. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Yisr Vahetir and the Ran? Why would the Yisr Vahetir say, nah, it's batel b'shishim. Even though I could taste it, it's batel b'shishim. Whereas the Ran's going to say, what are you talking about? Shishim is not magic. Shishim is about if you can taste it. And if I can taste it, it's Daraisa. The Ran assumes, like we said in the Shach, that it has to practically remove the Tame Isser. Whereas the Isser Vehetter assumes that Shishim is a Din Bittel with a Super Rov. So Bittel with a Super Rov means Shishim. You never need more than Shishim. Meaning it's the same logical construct. It may not be the same application, but, you know, that the super rov is shishim. Whereas, you know, you could say the logical construct without the same application, right? You could say that shishim is din in super rov, but it would have to be the kind of super rov that takes away the tam. But it could be to defend the survehetter, that he assumes that it's purely a din in super rov. Good, so once you have your super rov, I don't care about the tam. That might also explain the Shita of Rashi, Tzadi Ches Amral, of Dibra Maskel B'Shishim, that we already discussed, by Ti'imas Kfela. Remember, Rashi said Ti'imas Kfela is not enough. You also need Shishim. Oh, did someone raise this question? Yoni Elson does. The Rav's Malik assumed that the Ramah follows Rashi and Shishim and not Rabbeinu Tam. He uses it to explain Rashi. Right? Why do I also need Shishim? Because maybe Rashi holds that getting rid of Tam is not enough, because you also need a Super Rov. So again, same construct, different application. Meaning we're saying over here that the Ramah holds, you only need the Super Rov. Maybe Rashi's Shita is, you also need the Super Rov. Because Shishim is not purely about the Metzius. It's also about having a Super Rov. It also explains, says Rav Soloveitchik, a shita that the Shach quotes in Simen Kuf Tes, Sifkat and Yud. Simen Kuf Tes, Sifkat and Yud. In the name of Mahari. That Yavesh bi Yavesh, Min b'she'eno mino, requires Shishim in a Torah. Whoa! Even Yavesh bi Yavesh, Min b'she'eno mino, requires Shishim in a Torah. There's no Nesinas Tam by Yavesh bi Yavesh. Mehechi Tesi. Would you ever need Shishim on something that's yavesh be yavesh? On a tarovus yavesh be yavesh, there's no nesinas tam, there's no tarovus of tam, there's no transference of tam. How in the world would that need shishim in a Torah? Midrabanan, okay, mela, min a Torah? From a tam perspective, it makes no sense at all. Unless you say that a super rov is required for all min b'shein amina, even yavesh be yavesh. And the Shach disagrees with that over there in Siman Kuf Tes Sifkat and Yud, because the Shach is the Shitaso, that the purpose of Shishim is the practical removal of Tam, which doesn't make sense on the Tarovus of Yavesh B'Yavesh, because there's no Tam that's being transferred at all. if you look in Shir HaRav Os Gimel over there, he then suggests that maybe the Shach and the Ramah would also argue if you need a Yediyas HaTaroves for the Bittel to apply. That gets a little more fancy, a little more complicated. Meaning, in order to apply Bittel, do you need to know about the Taroves? Or is it purely a Din Metzius? I mean, you can see where he's going with it, right? Meaning, the Shach holds that it's all about a Metzius. It's all about a Metzius of Tam. So what do I care about Yediyas HaTaroves? Whereas Ramah would say, no, it's a halachic mechanism. So it could be that Yediyas HaTaroves makes a difference. Mechitesi, that Yediyas HaTaroves makes a difference, so you got to take a look over there and take a look in how Rav Soloveitchik applies it. So anyway, that's just a little bit of a defense of the Ramah. I guess we have 3 minutes left, so maybe I'll just say over Rav Meisha very shorthand, and then tomorrow we'll start getting into how to measure, meaning you have a kli that goes into you have a milch kli that goes into a fleshik pot, but we're in Tarovas over here. You have a trefa kli that goes into a fleshik pot. Do you measure connected the whole kli? Only the bli also went into the kli. How do you figure out the measurements? So the truth is that inyan has to be learned in concert with Simen Sadi Dalid, really. But tomorrow we're going to focus really over here in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hey. So take a look at the Torah and the Beis Yosef and all the Nosei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hey. That's really what, and the sugya is really Sadi Zayin Amin Beis, Chul and Sadi Zayin Amin Beis, Amir Ravashi. I'll send the Marmar Kolos tomorrow. It's an important Rashba B'Shem the Ravid. And we'll go from there. But Sif Hey is going to be for tomorrow. But maybe just very quickly to say over Rav Meisha in the 2 minutes we have. Rav Meisha, and that Igros Meisha Yerdech El Galsim Mem Gimel Anav Gimel, says that the Machlokas Abayin Rava is about the Iker Din Tam Ki Iker. How exactly we understand Tam Ki Iker. That Abayin holds Tam is not Batel because it's considered as if it never got mixed in. And it remains Usher as it was before. Meaning, It's the original Isser, still there. It's not that dissimilar to what we already explained. In his view, the fact that they have the same name is irrelevant because the Tam Isser is standing there independently of the Dvar Heter because you could still taste it. Whereas Rava holds that the Tam is considered to be mixed in, so it's therefore eligible for Bittel Barov. At Elamai, since you can still taste it, it's a Dayan Shmo Alav, so it's not Bata. But really, there is, in reality, a bittel. It's just that there's the tam that's getting in the way. But when they have the same shame, the tam doesn't maintain a distinct. You can't say a dayin shmo alav, because it has the same shame as what it got mixed into, and therefore it's batel barov. That's how Rav Meisha, in a nutshell, basically understands it. That the mechanics of tam ki iker, according to Rava, is that bittel already happened. But because you can still detect the taste, it still retains the shame. But if it has the same shame, then there's nothing to retain. Because if it's the same shame, if it's called the same shame as what it was mixed into, there's nothing for it to retain. So the tam doesn't maintain a distinct shame, and mainly you fall back on the bittel barov. That's how Rav Meisha defends the Ramah. Okay, a lot of mental gymnastics to defend the Ramah. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with Si'if Hei, the Sugya and Sadi Zayin, and we have what to talk about. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
Ready.